John chapter 6 this morning, the reading of the Word of God. The Sunday school this morning was wonderful, and I'd like to encourage you, if you haven't been coming to Sunday school, to come a little early and come on and be with us in Sunday school. And matter of fact, in the margin of my notes somewhere, Brother Brian, I wrote a little note about old-time religion. It'll come out somewhere in this. And if God will help me, I want to stand in these days. And I tell you, it got pretty lonely for them three boys, didn't it? Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And before Jesus comes, it might get pretty lonely for those that take a stand. Amen. Brother Ted, you get run out of your seat. I'm telling you what's the truth. Y'all playing musical pews around here. Amen. Good to see you this morning. Good to see Sister Donna this morning. I appreciate you being here. And let's just look in the Word of God and ask Him to speak to our hearts. John chapter number 6 this morning for the reading of the Word of God. The Bible said the day following, in verse 22, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw... Oh, I just now got that. They stood on the other side of the sea saw. You'll get that after a while. Amen. That there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto His disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with His disciples into the boat, but that the disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither His disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. It's amazing how the Lord has built this weekend in my heart and mind. Last night, or yesterday afternoon, this phrase grabbed my attention as I was meditating on the Word of God. Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth. It's Labor Day weekend. And it's a day that we are celebrating the workforce in America. Those that build and those that construct and those that contribute to the nation's economy, those that work. By the way, God has always honored that in the Word of God. Amen. Work. The Bible said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto Him, what shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto him, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. They said therefore unto Him, what sign showest thou then, that we may... Look at this order right here. Lord, what sign are you going to show us that we may see and believe? You see that right there? How many knows that order doesn't work in this generation? Amen. You don't say, God, show me something and I'll believe you. God says, believe me and I'll show you something. Amen. You believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so the Bible said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you, look at this statement, the true bread from heaven. The Bible said, for the bread of God is He. Watch that now. It didn't say the bread of God is that. The bread of God is a person. The bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, this morning for the Word of God. Thank you, Father, this morning for speaking to our hearts through the Word of God. And Lord, today I pray that as we do, Lord, our best to magnify the truths that you've set apart in our heart for this service, God, that you would magnify that truth in every heart and life present. Lord, we love you today. We pray, dear God, today that you'll speak to our hearts. Strengthen the children of God. Save the lost. Help us all, our Father, because, Lord, we need help. God, if we're going to be a help to this generation, we need you to help us. I pray, God, that you'll bless this day. Lord, when everything is said and done, may we all be able to say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. Last weekend, we were looking at the blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel. I didn't even realize until this morning, early this morning, that last weekend, in a sense, we were looking at the blood, and the blood had something to say to us. But today, we're actually looking at the bread. And the bread is still speaking, even in this generation today, to our hearts. I want to give you some things. I want to lay just a little bit of groundwork and then give you three simple truths that God spoke to my heart about in this scripture. If you read, I'm not going to read it all for the sake of time, but if you'll read in chapter number 6, you have the feeding of the 5,000 in those first 14 verses there. It's a wonderful story. How that God, I said God, the Lord Jesus, one and the same, amen, took two small fishes and five loaves and fed 5,000 people. What a wonderful thing that was, amen. The people were hungry. And I think it was Philip said, well, Lord, 200 pence worth of bread wouldn't feed this crowd. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. And he said, well, what do you have? And he said, well, we have this little lad. And we see that great story there. There was a, how many can understand, with 5,000, that's the men. Think about this. That's not including the women and the children, amen. So the crowd was really much bigger than that. If there was one woman and one child, that's 15,000 people right there. And the Word of God declares in that story that Jesus fed every one of them. He took the bread, he broke it, and he blessed it, and he took the fish, and he distributed it. And when they got done, they had more than when they started, amen. And everybody was full. So what do you see there? I see in this chapter, there are two great needs that are met by the Master. There was a need for sustenance, or a need to sustain them. There was a need for something to sustain them, and our Lord Jesus met that need in the feeding of the 5,000. Then you go into the next few verses, and there's the storm. The disciples have headed out into the sea, and both of these needs of are met by the Master. There was not only a need for sustenance, but there was a need in the storm. They didn't only need something to sustain them, but they needed someone to secure them. And Jesus met both of those needs. When we come to a need here in this chapter, both of these needs were met, and they had to do, both of these needs had to do with that which is temporal, that which is external. That's what these needs had to do with. But Jesus, in the discourse on the bread of life, where I've read part of it to you in your hearing, he's no longer dealing with that which is temporal and that which is external, but he's doing that. He's dealing with that which is eternal and with that that's internal. This bread of life, this living bread, this true bread that cometh down from God out of heaven. Now, I want to see three things this morning in the message that I believe will be a blessing to you. Just three simple truths. The first thing I want to look at is that the true bread, in that true bread, we find a Savior. There, it identifies with none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible, if you will look in verse number 35, the Bible said here, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. You cannot get past the seven I ams in the book of John And you cannot get past John chapter number 1 without realizing that our Lord is proclaiming deity. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And by the way, the deity of Jesus Christ is still making religious folks angry. Amen? They still hate that doctrine. I don't know how anybody could read the Word of God and not understand that that's what upset the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and that's why they were not content until they put him to death on an old rugged cross. They said, you have made yourself equal with God. And you say, preacher, why did you mention that? Because I believe every time, brothers and sisters, that our Lord said, I am, it was just like sticking a dagger in that religious crowd's heart and into their life. Amen. And Jesus was letting them know that I am, just as Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And God said, tell them I am. Amen. I am sent thee. Listen, he said here in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. I'll get back to that verse. Look at verse 48. The Bible said, Jesus said, I am that bread of life. Look at verse number 51. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live. How long? How long, Brother Johnny? Amen. Remember that in the tent meeting the other night? I reached up there and got a hold of Brother Johnny in the tent meeting the other night. I said, I wouldn't get too excited. You're just going to live as long as God does. Amen. Forever. That's how long we're going to live. Amen. There was an old fella, Brother Joe, you would have liked him. He sat in the center section. Why, they couldn't say boo. But what, he wasn't on his feet. Amen. Say, glory to God. Glory, wasn't it, Brother Johnny? I told Brother Johnny, if you ever get tired of your pastor, I said, just put him on one side, put Brother Ralph on the other side, and they'll preach me to death, and you'll be rid of me. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. I am. That's what the Bible said. I am. Jesus said, I am. He didn't stop with that. I'm not going to preach all these. He said, I am the bread of life. He said in John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. He said in John 10:7-9, I'm the door of the sheep. He said in John 10:11-14, I'm the good shepherd. He said in John 11:25, I'm the resurrection and the life. He said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. In John chapter 15 and verse 1 and verse number 5, he said, I am. I'm the true vine. You know what our problem is? Listen to me carefully. I didn't say your problem. I said our problem. When we get in trouble, it's when he becomes an I was or an I will be. He never has said, Brother Tim, good to see you, brother. I just now looked up and saw you. Amen. Amen. He never has said I was or I will be. But what he says, praise God, is I am. I am. I am the bread of life. It speaks of a Savior. I tell you tonight, or this morning, Jesus identifies as that bread of life. Now listen, if I talk about bread and light, the door and the good shepherd, the resurrection, the way, the truth and the life and the true vine, I made me a little circle out beside of it and said, you know what? That's all I need. Glory to God. I am is all I need. Amen. He's everything to you. He's everything to me. That love him and serve him. The people need the Lord above all else. It's not something that man worked up. That's not what this bread is. I've seen my wife make bread. And I don't know how it all goes still yet to this day. I don't know how it goes. But I know when I get a hold of it how it goes. It goes down. Amen. One of my favorite songs is, when the rolls are served up yonder, I'll be there. Amen. Thank God for a city where we can have rolls without rolls. Amen. Down here, I don't get to eat all the rolls I want. Amen. But I will one day after a while. I don't understand all about that bread, but this bread right here is not something that some man worked up, but it's something that our God set down. The bread of life that we might have. Life and have it everlasting. In the true bread, we find a Savior. I mean, let me say this to you. Would this be fair? This is just a thought. But would it be fair if Jesus thought it needful? And I believe I've got Scripture to back this up. If Jesus thought it needful to tell us that He's the true bread, Would it not be a thought to keep in mind, or a thought that's worthy of thinking about, to think if He's the true bread, then somewhere there must be some false bread. And you say, preacher, what are you saying? Well, you remember, Paul told them, you know what I mean, that there's going to be some that come, but they're not going to be preaching that true gospel. They're going to be preaching another gospel. Amen. And Jesus warned them. The true bread is that bread that came down from heaven. You say, preacher, how can a man tell? How can a woman tell? How can a boy or a girl tell whether he is partaking of that true bread? Let me just give you some things right here quickly, and I'm going to move on to the second point in the message. You get into this a little bit later, and boy, this is where people really got troubled. Jesus starts, he starts declaring that my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. You know what he's doing? He's pointing to Calvary. And he says, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. What he's saying is, my friend, is that if anybody's going to taste the true bread of God, they're going to have to come to Calvary to eat. Amen. They're going to have to come to that cross. They're going to have to come through the blood to get the bread. That's what they're going to have to do. Amen. And he's saying here, my friend, that in the bread, the true bread, you'll find the Savior. Let me say this to you this morning. Let me move on to the second point in the message. In the true bread, not only do you find a Savior, but secondly, in the true bread, you find satisfaction. I'm going to ask you a question. This is probably a no-brainer. How many have ever sat down somewhere to eat, and when you left, you were not satisfied? I mean, is that fair enough? Is that fair enough? My wife and I, and I'm not going to name a particular restaurant, though I have it in mind. I'm not, but it just seems like sometimes restaurants, they get started off real good, and then it just seems like they decline. You know what I mean? I guess the meat starts costing more, and the sugar starts costing more, just like it does for all of us. And so instead of maybe raising the prices, they start trimming the meat. Amen? You know what I mean? It seemed like that's the way that it is, something that maybe is real good. And so we've all probably experienced at some point in time going to a table somewhere and sitting down with the expectation of being satisfied physically. And we've all had that feeling sometimes of leaving unsatisfied. I remember the last time, as a matter of fact, Brother Johnny, I think we were with Brother Otis over there at that place. You remember that place? And right stupid-like, I let my son-in-law talk me into ordering a dish that was healthy. And I'm telling you, I left unsatisfied with him and with my meal. Amen? I said, fool me once. Amen? Never again, amen. Whatever he says from now on, I'm going exactly in the opposite direction, amen. Amen. Can I say something? You say, preacher, how can I tell if I've got the true bread? I'll tell you how. Never anybody come to that table and left unsatisfied. I'm telling you, my friend, when you partake of the bread of life, it is thrilling, it is filling, it is satisfying, and you'll never have to hunger and never have to thirst for another bread again. It'll get the job done. Amen. I didn't put this in my notes, but it keeps coming back to my mind, so I guess my Lord wants me to say something about it. I don't know how many months ago it was, Brother Grizzle said something to me, and he repeated it after somebody else. He said, 100 years from now, it ain't going to matter anyway, preacher. You know what made a lot of things, Hunter? You know what Jesus is saying? Labor not for that meat that 100 years from now, it ain't going to matter anyway. Amen.
He's saying, buddy, you better pay attention to this true bread. Amen. This bread that comes down from God. You better make sure you're saved. You better make sure that that salvation satisfies. Not just for time, but for eternity. Amen. Hasn't been too long ago when a young man told me, he said, well, I've been saved. We knelt in an altar, and I said to that young man, I said, sir, are you willing to base your eternity on what you're calling salvation? And he looked at me and said, no. In other words, he wasn't satisfied. Can I say something to you this morning? I don't care where you've been, what you've done, how you prayed. If you're not satisfied, I'd get me some true bread. Say amen. I'm telling you, if you don't know that you know that you know that you know, I mean, I'd get it in my heart. Hey, the true bread of God, the Bible said, you'll never hunger, you'll never thirst. Amen again. You see, John 6:14, the Bible said right here, those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, they said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Then when you go over to John chapter 6 and verse number 22, down through verse number 26, the Bible's talking about here these that have come to the other side, these that have come following the Lord. In verse 26, he said, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. In other words, they were seeking him for the external. They were seeking him for the physical. They were seeking him for that that satisfies on a temporal basis. And they were not seeking the true bread of life that satisfies forever and forever. And forever. Oh, beloved friend, it's important. This true bread, you'll find satisfaction. You see, in verse number 27, here down through verse 29, Jesus said, labor not for the meat that perisheth. They said unto him, look in verse 28, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Do not be confused this morning, friend. Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. We're not talking about a work salvation. Jesus said, the bread's here. You need to get some bread. Amen. The true bread, the bread of life, will satisfy. It'll satisfy. It'll bring satisfaction. In the true bread, you'll find satisfaction. In verse 34 and verse 35, look at this quickly. Then he said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. I want you to see this in verse number 47 through verse number 51. I mentioned it a while ago. The Bible said here, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I'm the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give him is my flesh, and which I will for the life, which I will give for the life of this world. Listen, there's only one way to be satisfied. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that cometh unto the Father must come by me. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. This morning, the true bread, you'll find a Savior. In the true bread, you'll find satisfaction. Did you know this morning? There's a multitude in this chapter. If you read the whole chapter, we'll get over to the last part of it in just a moment. But there's a multitude of people that were walking with the true bread, talking with the true bread, but the Bible said they went away. I want to say this morning. I'm not trying to be mean, but I believe even in our city of Kingsport, there's a multitude of people, a multitude of religious people, a multitude of people that are unsatisfied. A multitude of people that lay down at night and wonder, if I don't wake up, will I really be in heaven? They're not satisfied. You know, it doesn't matter whether the pastor's satisfied with your experience or not. You better be satisfied with it. And it really doesn't matter whether you're satisfied with my experience or not. I got to be satisfied with it. Amen. A lot of people have enough religion to live by, but is it enough to die by? That's the question. Is it good enough? Because actually, religion's not good enough to die by. It's a relationship with Jesus, the true bread of life. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. In the true bread, you find a Savior. Let me give you this. In the true bread, you find satisfaction. Turn over to the last part of the chapter. In the true bread, you're going to find something else. Something that's really not talked about much in this generation. Something in generations gone by was talked about a lot. How many's ever heard of the perseverance of the saints? How many's ever heard of that? I like to say it like this. That's just some Holy Ghost stick 'em. Amen? Just cause you to stick by the stuff. Amen? How many knows a lot of people's leaving the stuff in this generation? A lot of people's leaving the book. A lot of people's leaving the blood. A lot of people's leaving the blessed hope. They've abandoned the truths of God's Word and the true and living bread for something new. Am I right or am I wrong? In the true bread, you'll find steadfastness and stability. Let's look at this right quick. John chapter 6, verse 63 through verse 71. The Bible said that it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit, they're life. But there are some of you that believe not. You say, preacher, why did people get around Jesus and leave unsatisfied? Right there's the two words that tells you, believe not. Because they didn't really believe, amen. They came for what they could get physically, but they went away starving to death spiritually. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to Me except it were given him of My Father. From that time many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. See, you get to talking about eating of His flesh and drinking of His blood. And you get to talking about Calvary and a salvation that was purchased by the blood of the Lamb that brings forth the bread of the Lamb. Amen. I'm telling you, you get to talking about that and the crowd thins out. The Bible said many of them went back. Many of them went back and walked with Him no more. Then said Jesus unto the 12, watch this. This is a good question. Every one of us ought to just, right now for a moment in our mind, just set Jesus right in front of us and let Him ask the question, will ye also go away? Let me say something to you. Please get a hold of this right here. I cannot tell you that I will not go away. And you can't tell me that either. But I can tell you this. By the grace of God, I'm not going away. There's some in this chapter that went away, but there's some that went on with the Savior. They went on. Watch this now. They're going on with God. In verse number 68, Simon Peter said, Lord, here's a good question. Where are we going to go? To whom shall we go? Lord, if we turn our backs on You, if we turn our backs on the true bread, let me just make a statement right here. If you turn your back on the true bread, everything else you would turn to is false bread. And Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? How are we going to follow? How are we going to make it? You're the one that has the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, said, I've chosen you 12. One of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray Him, being one of the 12. Give you several things real hurriedly. The importance of the Spirit in verse 63. The importance of the Word. Jesus asked a question. In verse number 67, He said, will ye also go away? But in verse number 64, Jesus knows the answer. Watch this. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. Jesus knows who's real and who's not. He knows who's been to the bread and who's not. He knows who's under the blood and who's not. He knows that. He asked the question, but he knows the answer. Peter asked a question in verse number 68. He said, Lord, where are we going to go? But then Peter makes a statement. He said, Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. One, in verse number 70 and verse number 71, Judas, he went after that bread that perisheth. You say, preacher, what do you mean he went after bread that perisheth? How many knows what he sold Jesus for? 30 pieces of silver. Jesus said, don't labor for that bread that perisheth, but labor for that meat unto everlasting life. It's Labor Day weekend. I'll say this. I'm going to have more to say about it tonight. Not the same message. But there's a lot of people in this world killing themselves for things that really don't matter. For things that 100 years from now, it ain't going to matter. Am I right or am I wrong? Better way of putting it, is God's word right or is it wrong? Amen. No wonder, Brother Brian, my mind goes back often to that message on being overcharged. And no wonder the word of God, Jesus said, don't take no thought. I'll take care of you. I'm your Savior. I'm your bread. I'm the blood. Amen. I'm the one that purchased you. And I'll take care of the clothes on your back. I'll take care of the place to stay. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things will be given unto you. Can I tell you, I hate to even let the cat out of the bag. I'm so excited about the message. I don't know when it's coming, but I read a little statement last week in a man's message that he preached. He made one little statement. Boy, God birthed a message in my heart out of that statement. He said, this was the statement, a world of not want. He wasn't even talking about Psalms, but immediately my heart went to Psalm 23. And immediately God began to speak to my heart down through that psalm. You hardly ever hear it except at a funeral. I'm going to tell you what, that psalm will work for the living. The Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd. Somebody tell me the next words. You know what happens when we want? Somebody help me. We're not satisfied. Am I right or am I wrong? Whew. That's a whole different message for a whole different day. But it's so big in there, it'll bust out of here one of these days. Amen. I needed that when God gave it to me. I remember what an old preacher said. He said, I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher that's trying to feed people something he won't eat himself. Every time God speaks to me, I always figure it's for me first. Amen. There's this one. He's laboring for meat. There's that many that went away. You can't give us bread? Let me say this to you. The happiest day of your life will be when Jesus becomes real and big. Not for what He does and not for what He gives, though He does wonderful things for us, gives us many things, but for who He is. Just for who He is. I've never thought about this concerning heaven. You know, one of the things that's going to make heaven heaven, Brother Jeff, we won't want a thing. Think about that for just a minute. How many's ever read an ad in the newspaper about an apartment that's fully furnished? Does that mean it has groceries too? Does that mean it has a cook? Because groceries without a cook ain't going to do me no good. Amen? Unless it's cereal. Amen? Does that mean it has a housekeeper? I think I might go rent one if it does mean all that. Amen? No. In other words, I remember renting an apartment that was fully furnished. And I remember going to the grocery store. I didn't have a credit card. I didn't even know what one looked like. I don't think I even had a checking account at that time. But I'm going to set up housekeeping, a bachelor in an apartment. I go through the grocery store. I get me a broom and I get me a mop and I get me some wash powders and I get something to wash dishes and I get me some groceries. You say, I thought you couldn't cook. They make TV dinners back in. Amen. You set them in there and warm them up. Amen. And I had all this stuff. Every time I went to the grocery store, I got a jar of maraschino cherries and a bowl of whipped cream. I dumped the juice off, dumped the cherries in there and ate it. That was my treat every time I went to the grocery store. I don't know what cherries are good for, Brother Brian. Whatever it is, I should never have it. Amen. Amen. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, when I rented that apartment, it said it was fully furnished. Never been so embarrassed in all my life, Sister Geraldine. I got up there and they rung all that stuff up. Now, y'all understand, I'm 54 years old, and at this time, I was 18. Y'all understand that? Do the math. What is it? 36? Is that right? 36 years ago? 36 years ago, when they got done ringing it up, it was $225 and some change. I turned every shade of red, even though I'm colorblind. I know I had to turn to every shade of red there was. You know what I decided? I can wait on the mop. I can wait on the broom. I think I kept the wash powder, so I knew I was going to need some clean clothes. Amen. I had to put about $30 worth of that stuff back. It was embarrassing. But you know what, really? The only way that you and I can say that life is fully furnished is in Christ. Can you say with me this morning, He's all I need? He's a package deal, amen. When you get the bread of life, He said you'll never hunger and you'll never thirst. Thank God this morning for the true bread that comes down from heaven. Let me give you this, and I'm done this morning. We'll have an invitation, Brother Ralph, to get you to come forward. Some went on. They went on because they had a Savior. They went on because they were satisfied. They went on because they found stability. Some went on. Some went back. I'm going to ask you this question this morning. Are you saved? Are you satisfied? And number three, are you stable? The Bible talks about being established, strengthened, settled. Are you settled in the work of God for your life? I'll make a statement this morning and I'm done. It's sad, but it's true. Many of God's people, they're saved, yes, sir. But they live and die and never discover the perfect will of God for their life. That's sad. God has a will for you. He has a will for me. And He's not interested in hiding it from us. He wants to show it to us. We can find everything we need in that true bread that cometh down from heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank You this morning for the Word of God now. Thank You, Lord, for Jesus, our Savior. I pray this morning, Lord, that some way, somehow, the truths of this Scripture, Lord, would settle deep down into our hearts. Lord, I thank You this morning that You didn't just save me, but God, You satisfied me. God, You didn't just satisfy me,
You put me in the work and strengthened me and settled me, and you're still establishing my goings. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for taking me out of that horrible pit, putting me on that solid rock. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. Speak to our hearts.